Deadbeat Scroll by Mark Coggins is slick, sardonic, and suspenseful. Everything a great thriller should be, says New York Times bestselling author Lee Child. Find it in ebook or trade paperback wherever books are sold. In this podcast, it's read by author Mark Coggins. Learn more about Mark and his other novels at markcoggins.com. Chapter 5. Angelina. Gretchen had invited the mysterious last client to return at 2, so I used the time before the meeting to deal with my wardrobe malfunction. I decided Ivy was right. The suit had to go. I paid a visit to the local Banana Republic, where I bought 2 pairs of gray slacks, 6 dress shirts in various hues of blue, and a navy blazer. My intuition was that my wingtips were so old that they were back in style again, but intense lobbying from the stick-thin salesman with a white-wall haircut and black square-rimmed glasses convinced me otherwise. I ended up with a pair of pointy ankle boots that looked like standard issue for Robin's Merry Men. The salesman confided that he had a pair just like them at home, which only made it worse. I made a quick trip to the Post Street apartment to change into my new duds and inhale an all-natural lemongrass coconut tofu TV dinner I found in the freezer. Then I hoofed it back to the headquarters of Duckworth Investigative Services. Gretchen was at her desk with another woman when I arrived. Both were smiling, and I heard laughter from the hallway before I opened the door. They seemed to be having a grand old time.
"Nice shiner," said Gretchen.
"Thank you, I guess."
The other woman pushed her chair away from the desk to take me in.
"Nice shoes," she chimed in.
"Now you're being cruel."
"No, I mean it. They're cool."
I put her in her early 30s. She had large expressive eyes, an impish smile, and dark black hair with blue highlights cut in a layered style with sweeping bangs that I was sure had a name like Dead Poet Shag. A gleaming silver stud protruded a short way below her lower lip. She was wearing a black leotard beneath a navy zip-up hoodie and a jean skirt. The skirt had a wide leather belt with a skull and crossbones buckle. In spite of the garb and the edgy haircut, she was a very attractive woman. At the risk of provoking further personal comments, what were you two laughing about?
"Angelina was just sharing a story about Chris," said Gretchen.
Angelina stood and extended her hand.
"A clever, funny story," she emphasized, assuming a more serious expression. "Good to meet you, and I hope you'll accept my condolences for your loss. Chris seemed like a wonderful person."
I took her hand, which was cool and soft to the touch. "He was. August Reardon, by the way."
"Yes, Gretchen told me."
I found myself gawking at her big blue-gray eyes. They were limpid and depthless.
"Don't just stand there," snapped Gretchen. "Pull up a chair and join us."
I wheeled another of the Arion office chairs from the corner and settled in next to Angelina. "So, what's the story?"
"It's actually a story Chris told me," said Angelina. "One day last week after I hired him, he asked to meet at my hotel."
"Sorry to interrupt. You're from out of town, then?"
"Yes, from Vancouver, B.C. As I said, we agreed to meet at my hotel. I was sitting at the bar in the lobby, and when Chris came in, I noticed he had a shiner like yours, so I asked him about it. He told me he had gotten it trying to help a female client who was being harassed by a married man. He said talking to the man directly hadn't worked, so he came up with a different strategy. He reminded me that he sometimes cross-dressed.
Oh, no, I said. He didn't hit on the married guy in drag, did he? Chris had been eerily convincing as a woman and performed as a torch singer, doing jazz standards and show tunes in clubs. I'd often accompanied him on bass before I moved to Palm Springs.
No, something more fiendish. He discovered that the guy's wife spends most of her days at the San Francisco Tennis Club. He dressed, to use his terms, as a red-hot tennis bimbo, covered the black eye with a pair of wraparound shades, and managed to bump into her at the cabana bar. After a few martinis, he steered the conversation to men and sex. He intimated that he had been having an affair with a married man, and managed to drop enough hints that the wife finally realized he was talking about her husband. He said she looked like she had swallowed the olive pick from her martini. Then he told her that the husband had passed on an STD, and she just about slapped him.
I let out a little gasp of surprise and looked over at Gretchen. She smiled and shook her head.
Vintage, Chris.
Yes, vintage. But it was vintage for more than one reason. The first, of course, was the clever idea and its execution. The other was the fact that Chris had bragged about it to a near stranger and client. From what I'd seen of Angelina and her reaction to the story, Chris's confidence seemed to have been well received, but others might regard it as feckless and unprofessional. I was worried it was an example of the sort of behavior that might have gotten him into trouble. I brought a finger up to my bruised eye. Well, judging from today's conversation with the gentleman in question, I don't think the missus has tipped her hand regarding her newfound knowledge.
Probably shopping for divorce lawyers, said Gretchen.
Let's hope so, I said, and turned back to Angelina. So you hired Chris, but not through the office, apparently. Gretchen has no record of the case in the files.
That's right. I have a friend who also cross-dresses, and he met Chris on one of the CD subreddits. Eventually, they exchanged emails and got to know each other better.
Okay. Gretchen saved me.
Reddit is kind of like a bulletin board for the internet. Discussions on different topics are partitioned into areas called subreddits. There's probably one for just about any interest or hobby you can imagine. And some you can't. We end up using it quite a bit for our investigations.
That made me feel a little bit better about Chris sharing the story about the Schleins. At least Angelina already knew he was a cross-dresser. All right, I get it. You found out from your friend that Chris was a detective, and you contacted him directly. Can you tell us what you hired him for? Angelina scooted her chair a little closer.
Of course. I feel terrible about what happened. I hope his death didn't have anything to do with the assignment, but I want to do whatever I can to help. I was trying to find my sister, half-sister, actually. She's older than I am, and we share the same father, but I hardly had any contact with her growing up. I'd heard she'd moved to San Francisco, but all the obvious things I tried, Googling, searching Facebook, came up empty.
What prompted you to seek her out now? Angelina looked down to trace one of the bones on her buckle.
My father, our father, divorced my mother when I was 10. Soon after, he was killed in an automobile accident. My mother died recently of breast cancer. I was her only child, and she never remarried. I guess I felt orphaned. Maybe it's silly at my age, but I thought reconnecting with Corinne would make me feel part of a family again.
That's not silly at all, said Gretchen. The building's ancient heater kicked in with a groan and a muffled bang in the ceiling's ductwork. Dusty air chuffed from the register behind Gretchen's desk. Not at all, I said in what sounded like an overly earnest tone. Angelina looked up, her eyes shining with moisture.
Anyway, I emailed Chris and eventually spoke to him on Skype. I explained I had some vacation coming and that I intended to take it in San Francisco. I asked him to help me look for my sister. He was reluctant at first. He'd already tried a cursory search online after my initial contact, and he felt it was a job for what he called a meat-eating dinosaur PI.
Gretchen snorted, covering her mouth as she glanced over at me. Angelina caught the exchange. Fortunately, or unfortunately, I said, we are all very evolved in this room. But apparently Chris agreed to take your case in the end.
Yes, he did.
Give me the full timeline then. When you arrived, when you met Chris, and what he did.
I arrived last Tuesday and met with Chris at my hotel that same day. I shared a little file I'd prepared on Corinne and answered all the questions he had for me. We met a second time at the hotel on Thursday when he told me the cross-dressing story and he gave me an update.
Which was?
He'd made some progress. One of the few things I knew about Corinne was that she had a degree in architecture. He had gone around to a number of architecture firms and eventually found one where she had worked 10 years ago. He learned that she had gotten married and changed her last name, and that she had left the firm when she had gotten pregnant. Unfortunately, no one there knew anything about where she was now.
But didn't Chris do new searches against her married name? Asked Gretchen.
He'd started. He found some possible hits, but nothing definitive.
What happened next? I asked.
Nothing. I never heard from him again. I tried to contact him, of course, but he didn't respond to my text or emails. Yesterday I saw an article about his death in the local paper. I found the address for your office, and I came in to see Gretchen this morning.
So he never said anything about a connection to Golden Fingers, the massage parlor where he was found? Angelina bent her lips down, causing the stud beneath her mouth to protrude even more. She shook her head.
No, nothing about that. I'm very open-minded, but I can't imagine my older sister, the architect, having anything to do with a place like that.
No, I suppose not. I rubbed the back of my neck. The new shirt, which I hadn't bothered to wash, was chafing like hell. Look, Gretchen and I want to find out what happened to our friend. It could be completely unrelated, but all we have to go on is the thing he was working on when he died, the search for your sister. If you don't mind, we'd like to pick up the thread again, retracing the steps we know about, and possibly uncovering ones he took after he met with you the final time. Who knows? We may even locate your sister, although I can't promise that.
Absolutely. Anything I can do to help. As I said earlier, I really hope the search and his murder had nothing to do with each other. I would feel horrible if I knew I was responsible for sending him out on an assignment that led to his death, even indirectly.
There's no need to feel responsible, said Gretchen. Even though we're not set up for finding missing persons, there's nothing inherently dangerous in that. I wasn't sure I agreed, but I didn't want to lay a guilt trip on Angelina. True. And thank you. We appreciate it. Just a few more questions. What was your sister's maiden name?
Evangelista, same as mine. Our father was Italian.
So you are Angelina Evangelista? Great rapper name.
Tell me about it. I was teased mercilessly in grade school.
And your sister's married name? The one Chris discovered at the architecture firm.
Not nearly as hip-hop. White. Corinne White. That may be why Chris was having trouble finding her with the second set of searches.
Okay, how about the name of the architecture firm?
Hillisland, Hillisland, and Chelik.
That sounds more like a polka band. And you mentioned a file you gave Chris? Could we get a copy? The polka band comment earned me a smothered grin.
I'll email it, she said,
nodding herself back to a straight face.
It's not much. Old photos, some information on her mother and our father, and a few internet references I found for her in Canada before she moved to the States.
Did she become a U.S. citizen?
At least by the time she worked at the architecture firm, according to Chris.
Thank you. This is all very helpful. We exchanged contact information and stood to say goodbye. I walked her to the door. When she was halfway through it, she turned to offer her hand a final time.
The shoes are really cool, and so are you, for a meat-eating dinosaur.
Those big eyes of hers made me feel like a butterfly pinned to a corkboard. You too, I mumbled. You have been listening to The Deadbeat Scroll, a book the New York Journal of Books described as a glorious potpourri of violence, black humor, sex, and a hunt for a lost manuscript. Find it in ebook or trade paperback wherever books are sold. In this podcast, it's read by author Mark Coggins. Learn more about Mark and his other novels at markcoggins.com.